Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Headphones. All right, just cut the music now. Cut it now. We're starting this feed early. We're just sick and tired of all the crap going on in the world.
Jeez.
And I'm Wilbur.
I'm Daniel.
And welcome back to the Conspiracy Shack. You know, there's sometimes time for the song, which I think it's still playing.
Very quietly.
And sometimes you just got to get into it. And today's one of those days where we just got to get into it because there's a lot of things that need to be told and there's a lot of things that are just making us mad. And you know what? Sometimes you got to channel that anger into goodness. That's what we're doing today.
Yeah, but I think you have an apology to make first.
I do. Let me take a sip of my water real fast because I'm sorry.
Disgusting.
Wilbur took the bait. I read that a news article last week. Well, we glanced over it. What was last week?
I didn't glance over nothing.
Well, I think you brought it up and asked me what my opinion was.
Yeah, because I had just heard it.
Same here.
And I had said that I have no idea what this is about. But
and I had heard it too.
As we were sitting down,
looked at it. Yeah, and so this, I think this is a good thing though. So last week we had mentioned something about RFK advising or endorsing the MMR vaccine, the measles vaccine. And I was very disappointed. I lost my trust in him. And but turns out he did mention, so there was a long news article, and that was the headline, was, he says you should get the vaccine for the measles. Well, if you go on to further read the full interview, turns out it sounds like he was just saying that as like an appeasement to the people who call him anti-vax.
Mm-hmm.
So that way people didn't have that avenue to call him anti-vax. And then the media took that as the headline and ran with it, saying that you need the vaccine. More or less, he was saying the vaccine, yeah, it's good. It's important. But he said
a healthy body.
Measles can't kill, can't cause death in someone if they're healthy.
Yeah.
And that's what he emphasized, is having a healthy body and getting proper nutrition. So, because there was a measles death just recently, and it was the first one since, I think he said, 2005.
So it's almost a 20-year, or a 20-year gap.
Much a 20-year gap. So basically, measles is less deadly than Tylenol.
I can believe that.
Oh, it is. More people have died from Tylenol than of measles, directly from measles. And he was saying that her death was mostly, probably attributed to more now nutrition. Because measles can severely affect people who are malnourished or people who are just not healthy in general.
That's like,
and that's 99% of all diseases.
I mean, yeah, like diarrhea was a big killer for a long time.
Yeah, amoebic dysentery.
Because you would get dehydrated so fast.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, nowadays,
that's the number one killer on Oregon Trail.
Yeah, dysentery.
Yep.
But no, diarrhea is not a killer anymore, at least not by itself normally.
Right.
Anymore, because we can get so many fluids.
We have access to water.
Like clean drinking water.
Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you're out in a desert or, at a very dirty, watered, stranded area, and you're constantly drinking it, I guess the diarrhea, I supposedly would kill you, but more or less I would bank on it being the parasites you're drinking constantly. But yeah. So yeah, there's our apology.
Not my apology.
My apology. I was on behalf of the Shack.
There you go.
Because
I'm getting yelled at for many different reasons. I just looked at the comments from other things
from the Shack.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Dang. Well, that's all right.
And don't apologize.
That's all right. You don't need to. You shouldn't have to unless you never should apologize unless you feel compelled to. That's my stand. And I think that's a good rule to live by. Never apologize for something you shouldn't have to apologize for. Like using the wrong words. You know what? That's nothing wrong with that. People like, oh, you labeled me wrong. Well, no. I call it like I see it. You're a fat slob. That's what I'm going to call someone if they're a fat slob. If they have a problem with that, I'm not going to apologize.
Gosh. Okay. K is the username. Had reached out and asked if we could do a deeper dive into the avian influenza cases across the U.S. And they had specifically had mentioned cats. And I did not realize how big of a connection this has to cats.
Until bird flu?
Yeah. Yeah. And then some other strange animals. But there has been some big misconceptions in the media about this with cats and raw pet food. And it seems like, again, it's attacking maybe better quality food sources.
Okay.
Even our home animals.
Right.
So I got a couple articles. This one's by Susan Thixton. Raw pet food is distributed nationwide. Avian influenza cases are not, is the name of the article. And this is talking about specifically these cases with cats and raw pet food.
So are they suggesting that the flu is being passed through raw pet food?
That was the original assumption, and we'll talk about it.
Okay.
So we're going to go through her article first, and then we're actually going to go into the USDA website and talk about some of the stuff with avian influenza.
Okay.
And I do want to point out that Ohio just, like, as of recording this, started banning counties from selling birds.
Today.
As of recording this today. So this will come out in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So.
2 weeks or next week?
2 weeks.
Okay.
March 17th, I believe, is when the ban went into order. Yes.
St. Paddy's Day, 2025.
Where the sell, the exhibit, the transfer, the movement, the exchange of any kind of birds.
Any birds. Chickens, turkey, quail.
They do not care.
Pheasants.
Ostriches.
Ostriches,
technically, emus. They do apply into that.
You can't sell any of them here in Ohio.
And in selected counties.
Oh, yes. It is, yes. Selected counties, but we're one of them.
Yes.
We're one of the selected counties. Probably
It's a weird hodgepodge because I know they've already. So I think it's because of counties folding and not folding.
Okay.
Because I know a lot of our southern district counties.
Didn't fold?
No, they folded early.
Oh, they folded early. Okay.
So they don't need extra they don't need extra laws put on them because they already backed down.
Mm. Okay.
So these northern counties have not backed down yet.
Remember, people, there's a big difference between kneeling down and bending over.
Yes. So, since the announcement by the Oregon Department of Agriculture late in December of 2024, the raw pet food was the source of avian flu that caused a cat's death, which turned out later the pet food was not the source of the cat's infection.
Hmm.
The number one question this person... Susan has received from pet owners is, should I stop feeding my cat raw cat food? My response to the question remains, I'm still feeding my own pets, five cats, two dogs, both raw food and cooked food, part commercial, part home prepped. I have not changed any way of feeding my own animals, and I do not plan to change my lifestyle of my pets, nor do I have any changes or plans to change. For the most part, pets only have been told about avian flu being detected in cats, which was linked to raw pet food or raw milk. But if you look it up, the regulatory authority, they have told us the data tells a different story about avian influenza. And she lifts this article from the USDA, which we'll go back to.
Okay.
But highly pathogenic avian influenza, HPAI, has been detected in 105 domestic cats since May of 2022 in the U.S. Below, in her article, she supplies a map of the detection of this in mammals. From May of 2022 till March 4th of 2025, so just a couple weeks ago.
Right, yep.
And it lists all kinds of mammals.
That are being infected?
Yeah, that have had detections.
Okay.
Captive wild cats, domestic cats, wild cats, bears, wild canines, marine mammals, musculids, longomorphs, raccoons, rodents, skunks, and possums.
So all these detected that
longomorphs are rabbits, just so you know.
Okay, I did not know. I thought it was like an animorph. Remember that TV show?
Yes.
The people, are these animals are all getting infected with this specific bird flu?
They have tested positive, yes.
This specific strain? That's the one that's going around right now.
Sure.
Okay. Well,
I don't know if this is like COVID. I have not seen anybody talk about different strains.
So, does it affect these animals?
So let's just go through her article first, and we'll go back to the USDA and talk about the individual animals. Specifically, I want to talk about the marine mammals.
Yeah, well, according to the way the USDA or, I don't know, the government's been reacting to the bird flu right now.
Very poorly.
It sounds like we need to go out and kill all the cats and bears and marine animals so we can, just to stop the spreads,
they just
flatten the curve.
They just got rid of the Marine Animal Protection Act for that reason.
I'm not surprised.
That's not for that reason, but they did just get rid of that act.
Did they really?
Yes.
Well, maybe this is their reasoning to do it.
No, they just got. Anyways, it doesn't matter. If you look closely at the map, the various icons on the map indicate species of animal detected from have been infected with this disease. Small box of the icon demonstrates to cats. There's the cat detections are not uniform across the U.S. In fact, the areas of the map color-coded in light blue, which would be the eastern side of the United States,
okay,
is the only one case of a domestic cat infection. On the entire East Coast seaboard, there has only been one.
Hmm. Well, now that's interesting. Is it almost like...
But where most of the avian influenza is.
Is on the East Coast.
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's what makes sense.
That's what this that Susan is saying here in this article.
There's something's not adding up.
Yeah.
There's a discrepancy here.
Yes. To the contrary, pet food are distributed nationwide. If the food source was the source of the infection for cats specifically, you would see a much more uniform distribution of these cases across the U.S. instead of external factors.
Right. Yep.
Which I agree with her, especially if they're saying it's this raw pet food. They don't name the company here. But there's only a couple companies that make this kind of quality pet food that they're talking about for cats and dogs.
Purina?
No, I don't think. I think it's I cannot remember the name of it personally. Mm. There is a good company out there, though, that makes like...
Yeah. It has blue in the name, I think.
I can't remember. It's in Walmart. You can get it. It's a little cooler in the pet section.
Yeah. Expensive.
Yeah. But, I mean, I just always gave my dog cheeseburgers, but right, he was 19.
And lived fine.
Well, I mean, as far as a 19-year-old dog with no teeth could.
Was that Clarice?
No, that was Bailey. Bailey lived to be like 20, 19 or 20.
Oh, Clarice got to like 19.
She got to 16.
16. Looked older, though.
She still had teeth, though. The majority of these 105 domestic cats, perhaps all these cases, are linked to the infection is thought to have been via exposure to infected birds or other animals. In late March and early April of 2024, Texas reported detection of HPAI in several cats from several dairy farms experiencing the disease in their dairy cows, suggesting the virus spread to the cats either from the dairy cows, the raw milk, or from wild songbirds associated with the farm.
Nope, can't be that. Nope.
Now, this is Texas. Texas don't have any quarrels about saying this. It's Ohio that won't say it.
Oh, okay.
Which aligns more consistently with the Centers of Disease Control, confirming the risk of raw pet food is extremely minimal.
Low, yes.
The Center of Disease Control has published guideline documents outlining the agency's recommendations for preventing human exposure to the highly pathogenic avian influenza. Just feels like every time.
Does that just mean it's like it can spread?
What?
The highly pathogenic?
That's just the name of it. It's nothing but a name.
Okay, so it means nothing. It's just to try to scare you.
The guidance of the CDC shares the risk categories by exposure table, explaining the categories of individual risk for this disease and settings and exposure. The CDC guidelines state, note, the guidance is directed towards human exposure, not specifically pets. High risk of exposure. Working on farms with poultry or cows with confirmed HPV or HPAI cases, infection of sick poultry or cows exposed to these confirmed diseases, virus infection, known as close animal contact. Examples of these risky activities on farms include milking cows, getting splashed with milk or cow milk in the face, feeding or watering poultry or cows, handling carcasses of dead cows, poultry culling or depopulation, butchering or evisceration.
Okay, who is... the authority again saying that
is the CDC specifically.
So they're immediately go to targeting cows and raw milk.
But cows are testing positive and they're not murdering all the cows.
Yeah. Ain't that weird? They probably should though dump all the milk though, right?
They've been doing that.
To keep it. Oh, I know. But to keep everyone safe, right? Right? Just to dump all the milk, kill all the cows, kill all the birds. That keeps everyone safe, right?
Gosh, this list is big.
Doesn't that save people?
Closed or prolonged contact with wild birds. Gosh. What? So, you know what close contact with wild birds consists of?
Breathing in the same world as them?
6 feet.
Oh my gosh, an arbitrary. You know, they even came out, they finally admitted, even the science himself admitted it. Dr. Fauci said that was just an arbitrary number they made up.
I knew that. And they would stuck be a fun with. One. So I seen a lady saying that we got to go out there and you got to have your chickens all separated now, 6 feet.
Screw that lady. And screw the
no,
guy.
No, no, no. She was making a joke.
Oh, okay.
She was being funny about this. Gotcha. How dumb everything is.
Okay. Oh, no, we had a guy.
And Kay, I promise, I'm going to get to the actual how this stuff spreads around and everything.
Yeah,
like
we'll
that.
Get there. We'll get there. But we got to.
Because I did appreciate the comment.
Yeah, 100%. No, we love comments like this. We want you guys to
engage
us like this so we can go down these.
Whatever you want to talk about, we're going to talk about.
These information rabbit holes. But I still remember when we had that guy come into my place of business and say, like, and right, complains about Facebook about how people weren't wearing masks, and there was no indications on the floor of what 6 feet was, so the people did no idea how far apart to be standing apart.
That wasn't the guy that got beat up in the parking lot, was it?
No, it okay. was not. That was the actual health inspector, and he's fine. You know, I have no problems with him. He's a good guy.
He was just happened to be the last guy on the end of the totem pole.
He was at the wrong place at the wrong time at that night. He did not get beat up, though, by the way. Just saying. Okay. He didn't get beat up. Apparently he was threatened.
Okay, I was told he was physically assaulted.
Oh, no. Unless we're talking some other situation.
We've talked about this before.
Yeah. No, he didn't get beat up. No health inspector was physically assaulted at our establishment.
I don't know what establishment you're talking about. People in direct contact with sick or dying birds. People involved with the depopulation or culling of wild birds. Wildlife agency employees in direct contact with sick or dead birds, wild birds, including defeathering, carcass removal, disposal. Hunters who handle birds. Touching surfaces or materials contaminated with birds, saliva, mucus, or feces. And with regards to raw milk. Currently, level of risk to humans is unknown, but high levels of concern basis to animal data. Consuming potentially raw or undercooked poultry products or eggs.
Well, that's
always
a thing.
There's a lot about this. Okay. Yeah, so again, the CDC guidelines are solely based upon human risk, not pet risk, but it is information provided seems very clear. The great risk of HPV virus infection is not consuming raw meat or eggs.
Oh, so just normal behavior.
That's what they're saying.
Okay.
The greatest risk of HPV infection is close animal contact. Oh, sorry. Let me reread that. I read that wrong. The greatest risk of HIV. Or HPAI, dyslexia is hard with the avian influenza virus infection, is not consuming raw meat or eggs.
Oh, is not.
It's animal one-on-one contact with infected poultry or cattle.
Wait.
So as far as they were blaming this. Now that I know I switched without telling you. I went from the CDC to this lady's article.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Susan's saying that they were blaming the raw pet food.
Right, right.
And the CDC says nothing about raw eggs or raw meat.
Right.
That pretty much their whole big list is just touching infected birds, poultry, or cows.
And that affects...
So animal to animal contact.
Okay.
So that's the greatest risk of getting the disease.
Humans getting it.
Yeah. And she's surmising animals as well.
Okay. And how easily does a pathogen from avians... How easily does it jump to infect humans? And then not only to infect that human, but to also infect other humans beyond that?
So a lot. It takes a lot. It takes a lot. Like an extremely immunocompromised person to even first off get it, but...
And then for that person to spread it to another person?
I mean...
Is that physically even possible?
Yeah.
Even if the other people aren't immunocompromised?
I mean, is it possible? Yes.
Is it likely?
No.
Is it probable?
No.
Is it plausible?
Yes.
Okay. It's just testing you.
I got to go over my head.
Which ones do you agree to yet?
All right.
Good. You passed.
One more statistic she gives you is that the states that have the United States has 73.8 million cats in the U.S. in 2024. The category of raw pet food is between 2 and 3% of the whole U.S. pet food market.
Wow.
2% of the U.S. cats are eating raw pet food, and that would be around 1.4 million cats every day consuming raw pet food.
All right. I think cats are getting a little too fancy in modern day.
So that's what she said. Well, she's saying if the cases of avian influenza were connected to these flu, we'd have a lot more than the 5 potential estimated cases.
Right. Huh. Yeah, those numbers add up.
So her math here, the risk of raw pet food exposing your cat to the virus is an estimated 0.0003%.
So the same chance you have of dying of COVID if you're under 80 years old.
I don't know if that's exactly right.
Pretty dang close.
That's the 1,000th place in the zeros?
It's not that extreme, but okay, if you're under 40, probably yes.
So as Susan states, the greatest risk to her feeding pet grade food, the FDA warns letter issued to the Mid-American Pet Food. The agency states the FDA investigates observed rainwater entering the facilities through the roof.
Oh my God.
While they were manufacturing multiple lots of dog food. Bird feces on the roof could contaminate that. And that's just one thing they're saying. So the biggest thing is failure to inspect, failure to take effective measures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So now we can go back to some of these articles from the official three-letter agencies. Do you want to start with the CDC or do you want to start with the USDA?
Gosh, which one's least evil?
I mean.
Yeah, give or take.
None of them?
6 one way, half a dozen the other.
I already clicked the USDA.
Then let's go with that one.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about this one. This is funny. So this is from the USDA, right on their website, literally. Detection of highly pathogenic avian influenza in mammals in the U.S. This was just last modified a day ago as of recording this. Detection of highly pathogenic avian influenza in mammals. There are many species that are potentially susceptible to highly pathogenic avian influenza. In addition to the birds and poultry, the virus is also detected in some mammals. We'll talk about that list below. Infection may cause illness, including severe disease and death.
Death. That's it.
Yeah, it's funny. So, let's see what we have. I don't know if I can sort it by state. I have a whole little. Okay, I can.
A whole little what? List of?
Of just all the animal cases they found.
Oh, okay.
So I'm just going to go through some of it. Domestic cat, house mouse, a harbor seal in Washington had it.
Nice.
House mouse, domestic cat, house mouse. Domestic cat, fox, black rat, bobcat, mountain lion, harbor seal again, a deer mouse, a Norway rat, a lot of Norway rats. Two bottlenose dolphins had it. How did the bottlenose dolphin get it?
Well, you know, the birds, when they poop in the water and
red foxes, flying squirrels, harbor seal again. A serval got it in Michigan.
Wow. Who's out there testing servals?
I'm going to guess it came into a vet. Sick. A lot of domestic cats. A lot of mountain lions. A tiger got it. An African lion got it. Those are both in Colorado in a private collection.
Oh, okay. Is this all in the U.S.?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. This is the USDA.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
More tigers. 2 Bengal tigers got it. A hybrid tiger. A lot of mountain lions. Servals. I think some of these are repeat. I don't even think there's this many cases. I'm looking. Yeah, it's the same thing repeatedly.
It's the same animal?
Yeah, they act like there's 56 pages. It repeats every 4 pages.
Oh, because they're just retesting the same. Yep, still got it. Put them on the list. Another case.
So about avian influenza. Influenza is caused by the inflammation of type A virus. The avian origin influenza virus are broadly categorized based upon the combination of 2 groups of proteins on the surface of the influenza A virus. Hemagglutinin, or H protein, which there are 16 of them, and neurohemiabases, or N proteins, which there are 9 of them. Many different combinations of H and N proteins are possible. Each combination is considered a different subtype. The related viruses within the subtype may be referred to as a lineage. Avian influenza viruses are classified as either low pathogenic or high pathogenic, based on their genetic features that serve of the disease that they cause in poultry. Most viruses are low pathogenic, meaning they have no signs or only minor clinical signs of infected poultry.
Okay.
That's it on the USDA. Mm. We'll hop over to the CDC.
Yeah, because they're not really given a whole lot of
no
information as regards to, I guess, what's causing, I don't know. Not a whole lot of useful information there. At least to tell you how to even treat this, take care of it. Or what your actions you should do as an individual.
So, highly pathogenic avian influenza. This is the CDC. This is literally what the CDC just says on the bird flu. There's, okay. The guideline outlined the CDC's recommendations for preventing human exposure to highly pathogenic avian influenza viruses, infection, prevention and control measures, including these personal protective equipment, testing, alternative treatments, patient investigation, monitoring of exposed person, and antiviral chemoplexius of exposed persons.
What?
I don't know what that word means.
Okay. Let me ask you a question.
Oh, you're asking me?
Yeah.
Daniel?
Yeah. Okay, a bird flies by me, coughs in my mouth.
Well, they can't cough, so.
Well, you know what I mean.
No, I don't. They okay. can't cough.
Okay, it farts in my mouth.
That's not from the respiratory system.
Oh, okay. Well, they said it's in the poop.
Yeah.
So there you go. Poops in my mouth.
Fine.
Okay, fair. Okay, bird flies by, poops in my mouth.
Okay.
Now, 2 days later, now I got HPAI, which is just the dumbest name. Now what? Am I like gonna destroy the world? Is this gonna be a domino effect now that I have it?
Well, since 2002, I don't have it here in front of me, but we talked about it whenever we did this the first time. There's been, I believe it's like 120 cases since 2022.
Of humans
getting actually infected with this.
Okay.
And one passed away.
One?
Yes, and I don't...
That's one too many!
I didn't have proof, but originally the person I was listening to kind of talk about this stated that it was a 96-year-old woman.
Hmm.
Well, but I could find no validity to that.
No way to corroborate that statement. Well, you know, one person is just too many.
It is.
And you're trying to fight these big drug companies, and just promise you won't take bribes from... any other drug companies? Only Big Pharma.
They don't want to give me money.
Oh, okay. No, I'm doing my Elizabeth Warren impression.
I know. I was doing my RFK.
Oh yeah. They don't. Yeah. Okay.
They don't want to give me money.
Oh, whoa. God, golly. Oh, shucks.
Background information. Although human infections of this virus, and this is CDC, are extremely rare. Having unprotected exposure to infected animals or to an environment in which infected birds or other infected animals are or have been persistently increasing the risk of infection. Therefore, people with work with or recreational exposure to the virus and to infected animals are at increased risk of infection and should follow recommended precautions.
Okay, so wait. Again, you get infected, then what?
There's a whole section on that. I'm not there yet.
Okay.
I'll talk about what it does to... all this stuff.
Because right now, all they're saying right now is that as long as you're outside, because that's where birds are, outside, you're at risk.
Birds are in your house, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I put them there.
Yeah. But I'm saying it in general for not just you and me, but people in the world, everyone listening to the shack. If you're outside, CDC says you're at high risk of being infected by this disease. How dumb does that sound?
The next sentence is worse, just so you know.
Okay.
The panzoic of the virus in wild birds is a result in outbreaks. The virus in wild birds has resulted, in outbreaks among commercial and backyard bird flocks. And that has spread the infection to wild terrestrial and marine mammals, as well as domesticated animals. Mm. Sporadic human infections with the virus have been reported in 23 countries since 1997, with a case fatality proportion, of less than 50%.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Okay, this is...
Literally, that's how they have it listed. But only a small number of cases have been reported in humans since 2022.
Oh my gosh, it's about the dumbest. Okay. So they big flocks and backyard flocks. Okay. One gets infected in your backyard flock.
Murder them all.
Now they're saying, so if one of them gets infected.
They aren't saying that, but they're saying that's the reason why.
No, right. That's what I'm saying. The reason why. One of them, if one of them, I'm saying playing out the scenario. If, you know, one of them does get infected. Okay, where do you get infected from? Again, the backyard flocks?
Yeah.
What's he getting infected from? Is it a source inside the flock, or is it from outside?
Outside.
Oh, okay. Well, if it's from outside, then your backyard flock that you have in your backyard that doesn't leave your backyard, if they get infected, then they can also risk infecting the other animals that are also outside, correct? Is that what they're saying?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so that's a big problem.
It's your fault.
Because your animals are outside with all the other animals that all have it. What's the big difference? There's no difference.
Most human infection with H5N1, which is the same thing as bird flu.
Yeah.
Virus have occurred after unprotected exposure to sick and dead infected poultry. Since the spring of 2024, sporadic human infections have been reported in the United States. Associated with poultry exposure or the dairy cattle exposure associated with ongoing multiple state outbreaks of the virus among dairy cattle and poultry. There's no evidence to sustain or the sustain of sustained human-to-human virus transmission in any country, and limited non-sustained human-to-human transmission has not been reported worldwide since 2007. I'll read that again. There's been no evidence of sustained human-to-human virus transmission in any country.
Because it has never happened. It can't. It's
and limited non-sustained human-to-human virus transmission has not been reported worldwide since 2007.
It's because it's nearly impossible. And the only way for
it's very hard for it to hop.
And only in order for a virus to hop like that, it's got to, you know, mutate or have some sort of change in it. And those sort of changes don't happen overnight or from one generation to the next. Those generations happen over a long spread out time, period of time of them changing slowly over time.
It takes virus. I mean, viruses are the quickest at it.
Right.
But
it's still not like...
It's not an instant, no.
It's not an instant. And it's not when it... Once it infects one person, it can infect... All the rest of them can now infect that one person. It's not how it works. And at the very... That's at the very beginning, like when COVID started, that's what they were claiming it was going to do. This bat virus, which we know now is 100% a lie, that they lied to us about that.
I swear that's a pop.
And as it is a Pepsi. And 40 days? 45 days? Daniel hasn't had a
you mean that?
Yeah.
Yeah, 46 days.
Okay. Sober. So play the thing.
It's okay. I don't want to go through.
I'll do it.
Thank you.
Crap. What was I just saying? I was on a rant there about
flattening the curve.
Well, yeah, flattening the curve and all that.
I do like how they put less than 50% fatal.
Right, yeah.
It's such a weird way to write it.
A weird way to write three people?
One.
Or one person, yeah.
Well, really. This is talking about since 97, so there may have been...
Three.
There may have been a higher, like, a version that when a human got infected earlier... That maybe it was a little more fatal.
That's what I was talking about. The jump in the beginning of COVID.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's the beginning of COVID. Oh, this bat virus jumped from a bat to a human, and now all humans are at risk because now this virus has mutated evolved. No, that's not how it works. The reason why it was
so hard.
The reason why it spread so fast and so effectively is because it was designed to do that. It was made. It wasn't from stinking bat. And so if this virus immediately starts jumping from people... Or not from people, jumps to people, and then from person to person, immediately in my head, it's going to be made. It's made. And then it just make you sick that there's people being paid by our tax dollars to develop these things, to develop these viruses, for the gain, it's called gain of function research, even though they said that they weren't doing gain of function research, which gain of function research is developing these spreadable viruses. That way we know how to treat them when they do break out, if that makes sense to you. So that way, when it does actually happen naturally, we're already ahead of the curve. Well, it won't ever happen naturally. The way it's going to happen naturally is if you make it and you put it out in the natural world for it to release. And that's a bioweapon, dude.
You ready to keep going?
Yeah. That was my Hulk Hogan.
Avian influenza infects the respiratory and gastrointestinal tracts of birds, causing birds to shed the virus saliva, mucus, and feces.
See, told you.
Influenza can also infect the respiratory tract of mammals.
Wait, you said mucus too?
Yes.
That's like bird spit.
Yeah.
I said spit in my mouth.
No, you said cough.
Dang it, you're right.
Their lungs are fused to the ribs.
All right, fair enough. Go on.
So that's a big problem. That's why one of these.
They can't cough.
Yeah, they can't cough. They can't cough like we can.
Right.
You'll hear them do like a.
That's them dying. Trying. That's them dying.
No, that's their body trying to do the cough thing. Right, yeah. But they can't. Respiratory tract of mammals and cause sympathetic infections in other organ tissues. Human infections with avian influenza can happen when enough virus gets into a person's eyes, nose, mouth, or is inhaled. People with close or prolonged unprotected contact with infected birds or other infected animals, such as dairy cows, or in constrained environments with greater risk of infection, illness in people with this disease or this virus infection have ranged from mild AG or, you know, upper respiratory symptoms, conjunctivitis, eyes, to severe illness, pneumonia, multi-organ failure, and can result in death. Since 2022, many different wild bird species have been reported to be a carrier of the virus, including terrestrial, seabirds, shorebirds, and migratory species. In the United States, the virus detection on wild birds has been reported in 50 states or territories, and outbreaks in backyard bird flock associated with high mortality events have been reported in 48 states in February of 2022.
Wow.
That's high mortality because you go into the backyard and kill them all.
Right, yeah.
They just, I mean.
Just
they,
happened down the road here two weeks ago.
That, yeah.
We had, what was it, a family that had how many chickens?
I can't remember off the top of my head now. That was like 3 weeks ago when we recorded this.
But like no more than 30, right?
No, it was small. It was like 12 or 15 yeah. birds or something like that.
And
they tried to be nice. They tried to be responsible and called it in that they had some birds acting up.
And they went in there and stayed in there and just killed all their birds without even telling them. They just killed them all because they.
Well, they may have told them as they're walking in to murder them all.
Right, yeah. Because one was infected. And
one tested positive, yes.
And how much sense does that make? Let's just unravel this or unroll this for a second. How much sense does this make to kill these, let's just say 15 birds in one person's backyard that feeds just their family, nobody else? Nobody else is going to be, I guess, really interacting with these birds unless you come over to their house. But to kill all of these chickens, what does that gain? It doesn't gain nothing.
Gains a whole bunch of dead chickens.
It gains a whole bunch of dead chickens and less for that family. Mm-hmm. Then why does the state want to take away from families? The state should never be taking away from families, especially when it comes to something like that. Their food. It's your food source. It's your own food source. And I think that might be their problem is you can't control your own food source. You got to be subservient to the state. You need to rely on the state to give you stuff because as long as you need them, then they have a purpose and they get tax money and it's, you're feeding them. You're feeding them. No, feed yourselves. Feed yourselves, people.
A wide range of terrestrial and marine mammals have been reported with the virus, including infection in multiple countries, typically resulting in neurological signs of the disease and death. The virus infection has been reported in wild mammals, such as fox, bears, seals, sea lions, and domesticated animals, including pets such as cats, dogs, farmed minks, foxes, and livestock such as goats and dairy cows.
Not the minks.
In the United States, the virus detection in mammals has been reported in more than 20 states, including detection in dairy cow herds in 15 states as of November of 2024.
Wow.
They're attacking the dairy industry with this as well.
Mm-hmm. Not like they haven't already done that.
Oh, they've been decimating the dairy industry forever.
Remember the farting cows?
Gosh.
The Green New Deal?
At this time, the CDC considers the human health risk in the U.S. public for this virus to be low. However, people with close or prolonged unprotected exposure to infected birds or other animals, or an environmental constraint of infected birds and other animals, are at greater risk of infection. The CDC considers the virus of the potential to cause severe disease in infected humans and recommends the following. So I'll go over the recommendations. Wait till you hear this. Oh my gosh. Avoid exposure to sick or dead animals. If you are unable to avoid exposure, avoid unprotected, not using respiratory or eye protection, exposure to sick and dead animals, including wild birds, poultry, domestic birds, other wild or domestic animals, as well as animal feces, litter, materials contaminated by birds and other animals that's been confirmed with the virus infection. They want you to wear mask. Do go anywhere near chickens. Personal protective equipment, PPE, to be warm. They would love you to the NOSHA-approved respirators, the N95 mask.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I will say that we know from COVID, the N95 mask, the microns, how wide they are, are way too big for viruses to be stopped.
Right.
It will stop particles, as in like a chunk of chicken poop.
You mean some schmutz?
Yeah. Have you ever worked around chickens or ducks or anything like that? They will fling poop into your face.
Oh, yeah.
I cannot tell you how many. I mean, I got chicken poop in my lungs, technically.
That's true.
Cooked poultry, eggs, and beef to a safe internal temperature to kill the virus.
Okay. Where's the slaughtering all your animals step?
People exposed to the virus, infected birds, or other animals, including people wearing the PPE, should monitor themselves for new respiratory illness symptoms. And beginning after their first exposure for 10 days.
Okay. Okay.
So recommendations for protecting poultry and livestock owners and workers. Employees should take extra steps to expose their novel influenza virus, such as virus of sick or sick and contaminated environments. Workers exposed when working with these animals confirm or potentially infected with novel influenza A virus, or working with materials such as milk that can confirm or potential contaminant of novel A virus. Examples are poultry and dairy and other livestock workers, veterinarians and veterinary staff, animal health responders, public health officers, dairy laboratory workers, food process workers, slaughterhouse workers, unloading live or dead cattle and livestock, postmortem processing, including postmortem inspections, remove and transport udders from dairy cow for further processing and rendering. To protect workers who might be exposed to these updated and development workplace safety plans, conduct an on-site hazard assessment to identify potential exposure based on work task and settings.
This is just all dumb. This is all dumb. Why do they have all these recommendations and everything. They're still just going to come in and kill them off if you test positive or if you report anything to them. They're not going to tell you to do any of these steps. They're just going to come in there and kill your animals.
If you have been in exposure to this, you have to report it to the CDC within 24 hours.
Screw you. You don't have to do anything. Screw you, CDC. I'm not reporting anything to you. That's just my opinion. You are not an authority over me. And who am I to say what's sick or what's not? It's really bothering me because it's just doing the same, to a lesser degree, what COVID did. COVID did on extreme result, which is, I guess, enough to push me over the edge to wake me up to realize this bull crap. But every other year, there's another bird flu or swine flu or some kind of flu or virus. In my whole lifetime, it feels like. I remember being in high school. I just graduated when Obama was president and the H1N1 was like a huge thing. And then remember Zika virus? That was supposed to kill us all?
I do remember that.
Like, there's just every year there's a new virus. Can this just stop? Can we at least, with all this stuff going on with the government right now and the Doge, Doge is exposing all this corruption in our government, which, yes, fantastic. I'm all for it. But what about, imagine the stuff they're not going to show you. You think the government's going to show you just all the good they're doing? You don't think they're hiding anything? Ain't it weird how all of the stuff that they're exposing seems to, I guess, target one side of the political aisle? Not to say that they're wrong, because I think a lot of the stuff they've been exposing has been a big misuse of our taxpayers' dollars. And I think if we had a breakdown of where our tax dollars actually went to, 99% of us wouldn't want to be paying our taxes anymore once they realize what they're actually funding. Because I'd say 1% of it's probably funding things that benefit you, and the rest of it's going elsewhere in other people's pockets. And a lot of people are in government's pockets, or whoever's serving them, or they're serving, I guess. Whoever's handing them money, lots of money, which would be a big corporation that owns all of this country. We live in an oligarchy. The Princeton there was a study in the Princeton Institute that talks about it, that finds those results, that we live in an oligarchy. Every major law that has been passed in this country has been approved by the 1%. If it's not approved by the upper 1%, it never has become law in this country. So that's a kind of a fun little fact. But, you know, we get bills that pass like the Freedom Act, the CARES Act, things like that. Things, you know, Patriot Act. You can't vote no for the Patriot Act. What are you? You're not a patriot? Huh? Why wouldn't you vote for that? It's in the name, Patriot. You must be a Putin puppet. You're a Putin puppet. Gosh, I can't stand any of this stupid stuff. All this, we're living in a scripted TV show, but we're all living in it. It's like the Truman Show, but they're just, instead of like us being the star, they're just extracting our time and energy and our money, which is all money really is. It's a physical manifestation of time and energy. Excuse me. All right, back to the wonderful people at the CDC.
Oh, I got off the article.
Okay, good. Thank God. You know what this is? This whole situation. There's one word that comes to mind. Do you know what it is? Hmm. All of this. You really can't think of the one word?
Oh, I know what the word is.
Well, what is it?
It's asinine.
That's right. I need you to say it. It's your word. We need an asinine button.
We have an asinine shirt coming out.
Good. It's coming out soon on the DW.
I just got to remember to do it.
Conspiracy Shack shop.
It'll be on the Cryptids of the Corn shop.
Oh, right? Yeah. I forgot. We outsourced that to Cryptids of the Corn. Mm-hmm. Good guys over there doing Lord's work.
I was going to read the actual statement. So this is this is weird. The Ohio Poultry Association just released this from the Ohio Department of Agriculture. Now, from the Ohio Department of Agriculture, out of the abundance of caution, the Ohio Department of Agriculture has issued a proclamation to temporarily suspend activities and all movements of live poultry at auctions, flea markets, livestock markets, swaps, breed shows, and exhibitation for the following counties. And it's Allen, Auglaize, Drake, Hardin, Logan, Mercer, Miami, Montgomery, Paulding, Peeble, Putnam, Shelby, and Van Wert.
It's all Ohio. Northwest Ohio.
It's all our corner.
Yeah.
There are currently no Ohio Department of Agriculture restrictions for holding poultry shows for the 2025 county fair season yet. Ohio Department of Agriculture will continue to monitor the situation both nationally and in Ohio. We recommend fair boards, 4-H agents, and Ohio State University extension educators continue to work with the Ohio Department of Agriculture and their official veterinarians on biosecurity protocols.
Mm. Biosecurity
takes effect immediately. It will be in effect till May 15th of 2025. Ohio Department, Ohio Poultry Association is in consistent communication with department. We'll keep updates, changes. NPIP update. Due to the ongoing avian outbreak, plus federal grant cuts to help with the Ohio NPIP program possibilities, there's currently a pause on all NPIP testing. So that's very important. I want to bring that. I'll come back to that.
Okay.
They suspend the testing and placement to reduce the movement of people, equipment, and animals between farms to minimize the spread of the influenza. As a result, the wait list for new participants has grown, and at this time is now projected to start date, and the testing will resume. Strongly recommend the local veterinarians for the pelorum testers. So pelorum is the NPIP testing. It is something that does not matter. There's not been a case of pelorum in like 25 years in Ohio.
Okay.
But all birds have to have a pelorum vaccination to pretty much move anywhere.
Okay.
Or a test. Not a vaccination, sorry, a test.
Oh, okay. Okay, good.
And it's just a way for the state to make money. But now, and the state has stopped testing for pelorum. Like, they've not making you get tested for pelorum, but they have stopped testing.
Okay.
So now, even if you want to move to a county that does not have restrictions, you can't do that because you can't get the test certificate.
Hmm. That's okay. Well, that's not good.
No.
Not at all.
Not at all. Not at all.
No. Why are they just, why are they attacking this corner of Ohio?
Oh, it's because it's is heaviest this the agriculture corner. Oop.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah, one second. I'm moving the mic. I'll read you another thing from the Ohio Department of Agriculture.
All right. Is this behind the scenes stuff?
Yeah.
This is behind the curtain stuff. This is not, you're not going to get this everywhere on any other show, only on The Shack.
Department of Agriculture, Office of Director, Reynoldsburg, Ohio. I left his name out on purpose.
Where? Tell me. I'll say it.
Yeah. Highly pathogenic avian influenza is an extremely contagious virus that has spread through the nation, including Ohio, and 51 states and territories affected, and 158 million birds over one are in over 1,500 premises.
I call BS. I don't think they're testing that many individual birds.
No, these are how many birds are affected because they murdered the rest of them because one tested positive. It's easy when one tests positive and you kill 50,000 birds.
Okay, fair enough.
AIP has affected over 14 million birds in 73 premises in 2025. It's just March.
Right.
14 million birds in 73 premises.
It's insane. This is an endemic virus, meaning it's never going to go away until everything has it and it goes through their body, basically, pretty much.
Yep.
And you build a natural immunity to it. It's the only way it'll stop. Killing things will not accelerate the end of this, and it won't help any other animals in the end of this.
HPV is spread through through saliva, nasal secretions, and feces of infected birds, including transitions from bird populations migrating through the state of Ohio. And exhibitors, auctions, swap meets, and public shows, sales, where birds are transported, coming and goings, pose extremely high risk for the spread of this virus. Drake, Mercer, Van Wert, Auglaize counties are counties in Ohio that have been severely affected by this virus. Putnam, Paulding, Allen, Hardin, Logan, Shelby, Miami, Montgomery, and Peeble counties have an increased risk of this transmission of this virus.
Means nothing.
Because of shared business, personnel, and logistic resources within the counties of the affected premises.
This ain't the people have a risk?
No.
Okay.
The birds have a risk because they're close to the other counties.
Every bird that is outside is at risk. Every bird. There is nothing that is like protected or safe.
HPIP has been identified in Ohio by the Department of Agriculture as a dangerous contagion of infectious disease under the section, blah, 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 Ohio reverse code, blah, 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 and Ohio administrative code, blah, blah, blah. It's necessary to protect Ohio's commercial poultry industry, which contributes $4.9 billion to the state's economy and accounts for 16,000 jobs. So all non-commercial premises is a premises that the following apply. So they're saying that we're going to save our commercial industry by attacking the non-commercial.
Because of the economy and the jobs, guys.
So you want to hear what it qualifies to be a non-commercial?
Okay. So commercial, okay. So commercial is allowed, non-commercial is not allowed. So what is a non-commercial?
So a premises with egg-laying flock with fewer than 75,000 birds.
Okay.
That's not commercial if you have less. If you have
less than
74,999 birds.
You're non-commercial?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So let me crunch the numbers here. Hold on a second. Carry the 7, add the 4. That's everybody.
A plant processing meat-type chickens for slaughter with fewer than 200,000 birds per week.
Huh.
A plant processing meat-type turkeys in slaughter with fewer than 2 million birds a year.
Well, that's still everybody.
A plant processing commercial waterfowl and upland game birds that slaughter fewer than 50,000 birds a year. A premises raising for release of game birds with fewer than 25,000 birds per year. And a premises with breeding flocks of fewer than 5,000 birds.
Yeah, so that's still everybody. Wait. No, let me. Oh, yep, everybody.
So and this is the bottom of it. I blank blank, therefore, director of the Ohio Department of Agriculture for the state of Ohio.
Oh, so if you don't know who it is, there you go.
Do hereby permit or prohibit the movement of all living birds, including poultry, wild game birds, fancy poultry species, exotic species, for non-commercial premises, including public and private shows, exhibitors, sales, and all activities involving these birds, including but not limited to auctions, flea markets, swap meets, livestock markets, meetups, and sale barns.
Okay, so that's the whole thing?
Yeah, plus the date and the counties were listed again.
But. Okay, so let's, if you could, just break that down, what he is allowing and what he's not allowing.
So for the safety of birds,
okay,
he's allowing, if you have basically more than 75,000 egg chickens, you are allowed to keep operating and moving chickens across state lines and across counties. Yes.
No restrictions.
No restrictions.
They don't come in and have to kill everything.
No.
Okay.
As of this, there's this order right here.
Right. Because you're a commercial producer and the economy.
This is not talking about killing anything, to be fair. This is talking about movement.
True. I guess I added that part. Yeah.
This is talking about the movement and the sale and of birds.
What you'd use a bird for if you're not actively eating it or collecting it.
So you're still allowed to commercially move chickens across the county lines and in the county and everything like that.
Yeah, why not? Economy.
You are not allowed. You're not allowed to do auction. So this is just attacking backyard flocks.
Yeah. You're not allowed to go to auctions. You're not allowed to take your birds to your neighbor's house. You're not allowed to give your neighbor a bird. You're not allowed to.
You get in a lot of trouble.
You're not allowed to go to a swap meet and sell and trade and exchange animals, exchange DNA for healthy populations. Hey, you're not allowed to do that no more. You need to have the same bird cooped up in a 75,000 plus environment because no diseases can ever form from that. Definitely no swine or a bird flu disease can form or mutate from being crammed into a box with 75,000 plus other birds in horrible, shitty conditions that they have to eat all this garbage food and they walk around in their garbage feces and the Tyson don't care.
Oh, so you named them.
Yeah, they need their money. They need a lot of money.
I mean, this is crazy to me that it's so blunt, because I've been saying this for years. It's crazy to me how blunt it is now.
Oh, yeah, it's right in your face.
And I remember in 2018, I got called crazy that they wouldn't do this.
And look at...
I feel like Alex Jones.
Look now.
Because I was yelling about this to the poultry committees and stuff in 2018.
Yeah.
And nobody believed me.
What are they saying now?
I don't know.
They're saying whatever this guy...
We're not allowed to meet anymore.
Now, whatever this guy in the email is saying is the authority. He's the new science. Call to arms, anyone listening. And if you're in the state of Ohio and you'd like to write to your local...
Politician
or USDA official that's making statements and making mandates for how you should live your life, maybe you should write them an email or cause a public stink, a public protest. Protesting is allowed in this country, and it's good to protest your thoughts, but peacefully.
Always peacefully.
Peaceful protest, the most effective protest. If it's not a peaceful protest,
you'd lose the message.
You'll lose the message, or it's infiltrated by a three-letter agency to turn it that way, to delegitimize
it. The USDA?
A three-letter agency? That's four.
That's the joke.
Oh, yeah. The ADA, actually. American Dental Association.
Then. Oh, I was like, isn't that the American Disabilities Association?
ADA? Well, no, I know ADA is American Dental because they always say it at the end of the toothpaste commercials.
Because I think it also is the American Disabilities Association.
Maybe, but I'm not as familiar with them. Not as many commercials.
Because with the hospitals and stuff like that, you got to be ADA compliant.
Yeah, that's dentist stuff.
Yeah. No, because that's why our little hospital has an elevator.
No, I believe you, yeah.
Like 12, or that 4-foot gap.
Yeah. What? You need it.
No, it should. It should have one. I'm just saying. Yeah. That's clients. Why they put that in there.
Right. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I don't know. It's just, this is nuts. This is nuts. This is a direct attack on the common working man. This is, it's just like when COVID happened. And if you owned a mom and pop like shop or a retail store, anything that wasn't Walmart, Amazon, or anything of this mega corporation sort, you had to shut down. You had to close. You had to have less. And you have to buy everything from a mega corporation because they're safe. And if we disrupt them, that could really wreck your local economy, you know. And we don't want to upset you and everyone, all your neighbors and stuff that way. We can't upset your economy. I mean, you could starve a little. That's fine. You'll be okay if you starve. Yeah, it's good for you. Fasting's good. Yeah, the health benefits of fasting.
I like fasting.
Wait till those articles start coming out.
Well, no, fasting is good for you.
No, fasting is good for you, but wait till they're like... oh, eggs are $36 a dozen.
Well, we just seen $25 a dozen by
and that's
us.
On, at home. That's a home price. Which, yeah, he should not be selling eggs for that price. That's just ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Especially to your neighbors.
I seen $11 and $12 a dozen this past weekend.
Yeah. I mean, it's a little, that's more reasonable. Still a lot, but what we're used to, what eggs should cost. It's insane. It's insane.
I seen a big thing where people were saying, well, the news is making fun of this. That if you spend X money, they went to it like a lady's backyard and were showing her doing a backyard flock. Mm-hmm. And how it made no financial sense because she spent like $2,000 basically all through a year and got $500 in eggs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're losing the point, or they're purposely not showing the point. The point is to have a food source that cannot be taken away from you, that you control,
mm-hmm.
that you, you know.
You know what's going
yours.
In.
Yes. Yeah.
You, you know, everything
more, you can
going,
make more.
Going everything in that food source. Not fully loaded preservatives and chemicals. That's just going to make you sick and then make you go to the hospital. Then
chickens are such a rare thing.
Yeah?
Such an amazing thing.
And they're trying to take them away from us.
I mean, they really are. Like, people often associate. It's crazy to me.
Get
people
chickens.
Often associate the rise of humanity with dogs or even cattle. I've heard that a bunch. Saying that's what allowed humans to become the civilizations, you know, and stuff like that was farming.
But what do you say?
It's chickens.
It's chickens.
One of the oldest domesticated, not the oldest, but one of the oldest domesticated farm animals is the red Indian jungle fowl, which is where all chickens come from. They are amazing because unlike dairy cows, dairy cows have to give birth at least once to start producing milk, and then you have to milk them every day. Chickens, when they hit age, they will lay eggs up until their caloric need. So they will lay an egg every day if you're feeding them good.
Yeah.
But they can survive on anything. They're omnivores. You want to feed them, you have meat scraps, you have bone scraps, they'll eat it.
They'll eat it, yep.
Grass, they'll eat it. You know, they're omnivores. They're perfect machines of turning anything into egg protein.
My favorite thing is flipping up rocks and they go after the worms.
That is always fun.
Yeah, it is. It's
enjoyable. Especially when you get good chickens. They're highly smart. They're smart too. The people don't definitely underestimate their intelligence. They're smarter than cows.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
But I mean, that's a lot of things are smarter than cows.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Depends on the cow.
Depends on the cow.
Some cows are pretty cool.
I've seen them open gates and stuff like that.
They ain't that dumb.
They're not dumb. They're just not smart.
Not like chickens. No, mm-hmm. Chickens can be rather dumb too.
No.
Yeah, sure they can. Especially when they try to attack somebody and you just poof, one punt to the head and he's just can't function no more.
It's not an intelligence thing. That's a courage thing, but you invaded his territory.
No, intelligence falls into that as well. There's a part where you, there's a certain point where you got to measure courage and intelligence. You know what? And I think right now we need a lot more courage. But you know, because I think people are full of intelligence. I think the average human man is smarter than what the government gives us credit for. The government tells you how you need to live. The government tells you what's safe and what's not. But I say, nay, man is smart enough. Earth claims they say there's no proof, but we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand, manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mouse hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor sealed, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education failed. Collected rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the evil. Conspiracies, they're all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold. There's no proof, but we know the truth, we're living proof. No life without government's hand, manipulation across the land. They say we're free, but that's their lie. We see the truth with open eyes. Mouse hole, a mystery unsolved. Tumor seals, government's involved. Change the world, speak the truth, expose the lies. That's our move. Off the grid, we raise our quail. Homeschool our kids, government's education failed. Collecting rain, though it's illegal. Natural resources can't be controlled by the evil.
Conspiracies are all around. In this shack, the truth is found. Living free from their control. We know the truth, we won't be sold.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.